He was born into a large family, but he spent his childhood years in a tiny little village. Bethlehem Ephratah was located in the hill country, some 5 miles southwest of the thriving metropolis of Jerusalem. Bethlehem itself, however, was a quiet and somewhat secluded place. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephratah means fruitful. Nestled in the hills, some 2,550 feet above the level of the sea, Bethlehem Ephratah in the land of Judah was surrounded by some of the most rugged terrain on the face of the planet. From the mountain peaks that bathed in the sunlight and touched the clouds to the deep darkness of valleys thousands of feet below, the land was one of intense natural beauty and danger. Lion and bear were an ever-present danger to the flocks of sheep in the farm country outside the village. And David, the young shepherd, spent many a watchful night under the starry skies near little Bethlehem, watching over and protecting the little flock that his father had entrusted to his care. One of the favorite Christmas songs for children has always been the one about, O little town of Bethlehem. David, the shepherd, who was a king. While David was leading his father's sheep, the Lord God was preparing him for even greater things. Rebellion was erupting in high places in the kingdom. King Saul disobeyed the Lord and was rejected by the Almighty. And so the Lord God sent his prophet Samuel on a mission to anoint the next king of Israel. His destination? The little town of Bethlehem and the house of Jesse. Who would have guessed that young David the shepherd was about to be anointed a king? Michelle will give us the Holy Spirit's account of this very shocking and blessed event.
First Samuel 16, 6 through 13. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, but behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
It didn't take David long to show his qualities for leading God's people. War soon broke out with the Philistines. These enemies of God's people had a mighty champion, a giant named Goliath. Goliath challenged Israel to send a representative to fight him one-on-one to the death. There were no takers. Saul and all Israel were greatly afraid. For 39 days, the challenge went unanswered. But on the 40th day, David, the shepherd king, was in the front lines, having taken supplies to some of his brothers. He heard the words of Goliath and took up the challenge. He was well prepared. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. While watching his father's sheep, a lion and a bear one time had taken a lamb out of the flock. David had killed the lion and the bear and saved the lamb. He knew who had given him the victory. And by the Spirit he reasoned, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me also out of the paw of this Philistine. Amanda will give us the Spirit's description of what I consider to be the most exciting event in the Old Testament.
Selected verses from 1 Samuel 17. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him.
David, the shepherd who was a king, and the events in his life foreshadowed and pointed forward to a greater king who was also a shepherd. More than 1,000 years after David's birth, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords was born in the very same little village, Bethlehem Ephratah. We sing about this blessed event in one of my favorite Christmas hymns, Once in Royal David's City. Lord Jesus told his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." And he's ruling right now. But it just doesn't look like it. And this was prefigured also in the life of David. Even though David the shepherd had been anointed as David the king, he didn't rule as king until some years had passed. During that interval of time, he was persecuted and pursued mercilessly by King Saul. But then came the battle against the Philistines on Mount Gilboa, where Saul ended his life on this earth by falling on a sword. The way was open for David to become king. But even then, his kingship came by degrees. First, he was king over the house of Judah. Caitlin gives us this account from Holy Scripture.
And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah.
Some 7 years later, the elders of Israel came to anoint David king over the remaining tribes. Allison gives us this account from Scripture.
So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Judah. And King David made a league with them and King John before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel.
And so finally, many years after he was first anointed king, David ruled over all of God's people. Joshua gives us the verse from Holy Scripture.
2 Samuel 8:15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people.
Okay. Even though David was a great king over all of God's people, he never forgot that in the very beginning of it all, he was a shepherd. It was the Lord God who gave David all of his victories over his enemies. And all of this pointed toward a greater king, a greater shepherd, and a greater kingdom. Listen carefully as Leah gives us the words of the Holy Spirit from Scripture.
Samuel 7, verses 8, 9, and 16. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in Israel. And thine house and thine kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever.
The combination of shepherd and king is found quite often in Scripture. And often an event in the Old Testament foreshadows a far greater event in the New Testament. David, the shepherd in the Old Testament, points to a greater shepherd in the New Testament. David, the king in the Old Testament, points to a greater king in the New Testament. And there are times in the Old Testament that the name David actually refers to Jesus Christ. Listen carefully to the words of the Holy Spirit as Sam gives them to us.
Ezekiel 34:22-24. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. In Ezekiel 37:24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes to do them.
The Christmas shepherds who worshiped the king. Considering the importance of shepherds in the Old Testament and the fact that it was a lamb that the first shepherd Abel offered to the Lord in the opening chapters of Genesis, it is not surprising that shepherds played a key role on the night that the Savior was born. We now go out into the fields under the stars in the night sky to share the blessed event with the shepherds in the beautiful Christmas hymn, To Shepherds as They Watch by Night. You know, whenever somebody is speaking, be it through a sermon or public speaking, you already try to capture the attention of the people that are listening to you, and you work a lot about hard on that, and try not to be boring. Well, there's one man that I'm told does not have this problem. I've never heard him speak, but from what I've read, he goes from one state to another giving lectures, and every time he speaks, he draws standing room only crowds. And the audience hangs on every single word he speaks. There's a reason for that. He's got one sentence that he says, and after he speaks that sentence, everybody's right with him. The sentence is this: I stood on the moon. The speaker is an astronaut. His name is Colonel James Irwin, a man who actually stood on the moon. For some 6,000 years, mankind has seen the moon shining in the night sky. It's hard to imagine a more beautiful scene. Poets have written poems about it. Artists have painted pictures on it. Songwriters have written songs about it. But until our generation, no one could ever get there. But now, lo and behold, it has happened. A man can actually stand up and say with a straight face, I stood on the moon. Some people count this event as the greatest thing that has ever taken place in history. They're wrong. There was one other event that took place that is so much greater that it can't even begin to compare to the sight of a man standing on the moon. And this was the time when a man stood on the earth. But not just any man. It was prophesied at least 1,500 years and maybe more before it actually happened. The most ancient book in Scripture has it, the book of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, said ancient Job, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He shall stand upon the earth. We're not talking about an ordinary man here. We're talking about a man who created all things. The one of whom it is written, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And to think that the Son of God, creator of all things, would actually come one day and stand upon this earth is a thought that literally boggles the mind. It's the greatest miracle in all history. It happened in a little town called Bethlehem. The Almighty God came into the world as a little baby, became in every single way a human being. This is the greatest miracle that has ever taken place. Every time a child is born into the world, it's a tremendous miracle. And I don't suppose there ever has been a parent who has forgotten the first time he saw his little one actually standing. Not crawling. Standing. Standing on the earth. What a tremendous accomplishment this is. But the miracle in Bethlehem was even greater. It's the miracle that encompasses all miracles. The Son of God, owner of everything, becoming a helpless little baby, and then one day giving his foster parents and his mother joy. He stood up, all on his own, standing on the earth. It's going to happen one more time. At the last day, he will come again to this earth and stand on it and judge the living and the dead. But that's another story for another time. Right now, we are celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ, first Christmas in the manger at Bethlehem. Fittingly enough, it was made known to shepherds who were watching their flocks by night. Under the stars that the Lord God had placed there on the fourth day of creation to act for signs and seasons and days and years. And then there were the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And oh, how beautiful that lesser light is. And what an amazing thing for a man to be able to say, I stood on the moon. But infinitely greater importance is the earth, which receives the reflected light of the sun through the moon. How fitting it is that the shepherds who were under the stars at night were the first ones to see the fulfillment of the very first sign of the zodiac, the sign of Virgo the Virgin giving birth to a little baby boy. And the shepherds saw the miracle in a manger at Bethlehem. The effects of that night are far-reaching. And the message that the stars are still giving us encompasses the whole world. We'll hear the words of the Holy Spirit read to us now by Jason.
Psalm 19, 1-3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard.
Scripture tells us that the Son of God became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. And so when the great king came into the world, he was born not in a palace, but rather in a manger. Some of the younger members of our congregation tell the story in a favorite children's hymn, Away in a Manger. There are many parallels between David and Jesus, but there are also some telling contrasts. Whereas it took David many years to become a king, Jesus was born a king. Jason gives us the reading.
Matthew 2:1-2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.
We've come now to my own favorite part of this worship service, and I count it a tremendous blessing to once again, for yet another year, hear the children and young adults of our congregations give us the beautiful musical rendition of Luke 2.
Thank you. restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The work of the Good Shepherd, who is also called the Great Shepherd, is spelled out for us by the Spirit in the verses which we will now hear from Sarah and Ellen.
Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant,
make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament and the New Testament joined together in what we perhaps could call the grand finale in the readings now to be given us by Ben.
Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. John 10, verses 11, 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
The life of a good shepherd involves many things, but in a certain way they are really all related. If we could boil it down to one thing, that thing would be, feed my sheep. It is of utmost importance that the sheep be fed. The good shepherd does a perfect job of this through his word, which is given to us by his Holy Spirit. This truth is brought forth in the beautiful Christmas hymn, He Shall Feed His Flock, sung by some of the older members of our congregation. Christmas miracle that took place in that little obscure village of Bethlehem Ephrathah in the land of Judah spreads joy to God's people throughout the whole world. So we'll join together in the well-known Christmas hymn, Joy to the World.